You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
All right, so I have an issue right out of the gate. I know what you've got planned today, and we're going to get to that. And
today is one of those moments, and we got to get it like right out of the way because it's one of those moments. We're going to play it again in the 5 o'clock hour. We might play it all day. It's one of those moments where you say, where was I when I heard that call?
Okay, so we're going to play that because it's an exclusive.
It is. It's exclusive audio.
Exclusive piece of audio. We haven't had this in a long time.
Hashtag the goal.
The golden goal.
Our golden goal.
The overdrive goal.
Golden goal.
Hashtag overdrive goal.
By the way, last night.
ODG.
I
went home and I asked my wife to record the golf for me. And I was watching Justin Thomas walk to the first tee with Tiger Woods and his dad. And I thought, we all love our kids, no matter what they do in life. But what's the coolest dad gig? Is there a cooler dad gig than following your son around playing golf and watching him hit golf shots? Tell me something cooler. I mean, we all love our kids. And this isn't to say your kid's a failure, blah, blah, blah. But you think of the coolest dad gigs when you're 55 and you're ready to shut it down. What is a cooler dad gig? And Grappler, maybe it's a poll. I don't know what's cooler than that. Watching your son wheel around Royal Melbourne. With Tiger Woods?
And he hits the putt on 18 to close.
What about? I don't know what's a cooler gig for a dad.
If you're like Floyd Mayweather's dad or something.
I don't know. Your dad got to watch you play in the NHL. That's a cool gig.
That would be cool.
Yeah, no, it was good. But I'm saying like.
I don't think a boxer.
If your son was the heavyweight, like the toughest person human on earth.
But there's always a chance he is going to get beaten to a pulp.
Yeah, like Mike Correct. Tyson's right. dad probably had a good time watching him beat the hell out of people.
But right, at some point when things went south, you're right. You're worried about injury and all that.
So honestly, I think that's one of the worst dad moves in the world. If your kid's like a fighter or something, unless you're a fighter and that's what you did and it's like a Apollo Creed, kind of thing, like following in the footsteps.
You don't think Sidney Crosby's dad's had a good time checking that out?
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. I think any athlete would be cool. I think a big musician. Imagine you sell out like Wembley Stadium and you're backstage.
You're Billy Joel's dad.
The Piano Man. Imagine you spawned the Piano Man.
Well,
you were responsible.
This guy from...
And a mom.
This Bieber's dad. I
you
told you
just
my incident
be a green
with him.
Room like, special.
Not a... I told you, I'm not a big fan of Bieber's dad.
Well, yeah.
I was at a private box with him, and he was spouting off. But, I mean, this is a guy who...
That would be an example, though.
His son, at the time, was 20 years old and probably a billionaire or close to it.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the most recognizable faces on the planet. Bieber's dad.
And he could go anywhere.
Aren't they from, like, Brampton or so? Where
they're
from
Stratford.
Stratford.
Yeah. And they're in, I think his dad lives in Toronto, as far as I know.
But the dad circled back. It was the mom that raised him.
Oh, absolutely. The mom. And I don't think Bieber and his mom are on speaking terms anymore.
Which sucks, because she raised him, and then the dad weaseled his way back in after he got big.
What if you're Clayton Kershaw's dad? Like, every 5 days, you just...
How about Jerry
you fly
Cole?
If you're retired and you got some cake.
Cole's dad.
Garrett Cole. Yeah, that would be Jarrett Cole.
Jarrett Cole.
That would be very cool. Imagine your son signs the biggest contract in pro sports history. Imagine you're in the room for him to say, sorry, is that $324 million?
Oh, but I need a $50,000 bonus.
Right.
Well, the dad's like going, I want 50 for the All-Star.
But if you're
game.
A good person and you love your parents, like, don't you just hand your dad a check and say,
yeah,
here's 10 sheets?
Well, Josh Donaldson posted on his Instagram account today, and I'm kind of conflicted on this because the Bringer of Rain's made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's his money. He can do whatever he wants. And he had a tough upraising, too. His dad was like, it was bad.
Yeah.
And he, I guess, his mom was a lifetime smoker. And he said, if you quit, I'll buy you a Maserati. She quit 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So he made her sit for 2 years on the sidelines.
Well, the last thing you want to do is hand over the Maserati, and then she's blowing a dart out the window saying, thanks a lot.
Driving away with it between her fingers out the window.
Does it really matter, though?
No.
Like, what does a Maserati go for? 100, 120?
No, yeah,
for him, it's
For him, it's nothing.
Yeah, that's
couch
nothing.
Money. Couch
money. She could start smoking again, and then he could say, okay, I'll put another one on the line if you quit. And then another one on the line.
Yeah, you're right.
But anyway,
right.
Cool gesture. Who am I to say, you know, a Maserati? I'm not hooking my parents up with a Maserati.
Right.
But, yeah, he posted that on Instagram this afternoon.
That's cool.
2 years. But she's just dying for a dart and a Maserati.
He wanted it to take, though. That's yeah, good on him.
Yeah, you're right.
Because you're right. She'd there be like, you know what? I'm 3 weeks. 3 weeks haven't had a dart. And you know that she has a couple drinks or something and starts hacking darts on a Saturday night.
What's he going to think when he rolls back into town in 2 weeks and there is an ashtray just filled with
it just
darts?
Reeks.
In the car.
In the car. Windows up. Maserati. But good for her. Good for Mrs. Donaldson and the bringer of rain. And he's still waiting for a contract. He's going to get one at some point, but he's still a free agent. But, yeah, I would say Justin Thomas, like, that would go a long way.
Yeah, there were some
with
great...
With Tiger in Australia.
There's but some just, great like, moments.
You figure out your schedule. I'm going to go watch my son wheel around a PGA Tour course.
What if you don't golf? Like, he got into it, but you just didn't golf.
Well, his dad's his teacher. He's
Okay, but I'm saying hypothetically. Like, there's a lot of parents that... My dad didn't play hockey. Like, he did kind of as a kid, but he didn't play hockey.
Right.
He didn't play, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of...
I just still think it's a great gig to go and watch your kid play. Even if you don't like golf, you're just sunny.
Oh,
they follow
cool.
the sun. Golfers follow the sun, man.
Right.
They're not dealing with any snowstorms or any nonsense.
No, of course. It would be really cool. Yeah. But it'd be even greater, I think, in a way, if you were a golfer, too, and he got you access. Like, think about Tiger, I'm sure, or whoever, could say, you know, we're flying down to Augusta here, private bird, and we're going to play... Augusta National.
That's the move. I'm going to send.
That's the move.
I'm going to send the bird for you, or you want to jump on the yacht and you can come across this way, like that's when you have that type of what is it called? FU money. Like they're just the money.
Oh, Garrett Cole.
Just,
he can literally say.
Yeah, private.
When
plane.
I pitch.
Yeah.
I'm having a bird waiting for you in the morning, and you're coming to the ballpark to watch me pitch and bring 10 people.
Yeah.
And that's the deal.
But that's another. Like Steve Ballmer, can you imagine being his dad, one of the richest humans on earth, or who's Amazon guy? What's his name?
Bezos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bezos. Bill Gates or something like that.
Like that's like my son.
Someone who's changed the world. Bill Gates changing the world.
Exactly.
That'd be cool.
Warren Buffett, who lives in like his regular house.
Yeah, like St. Louis.
These people that have that much money are so unique that they don't flaunt it. They're actually the other way. I guarantee the parents probably live in a small place that they grew up in, and now we're fine.
Yeah.
We don't need anything. And
he's
like, I will give you a private plane. I will give you 10 mansions. And they're like, no, we don't need that.
You have that kind
stuff
of,
just
you're chasing that kind of money. Like Warren Buffett, there's no difference between $60 billion and $120 billion.
No.
Like there isn't
not
for him and
level.
His lifestyle.
Yeah.
So he says that. He's like, it's all just a game now for me.
Right.
Like, I'm just chasing and trying. And he, I think he's very philanthropic and he gives a lot of money back, and Bill Gates does that. And even that, I find somewhat off putting. Like, Bezos made some big donation recently. It was like $98 million or something.
Right.
And he took flack for it because everyone was like, well, for you, that's the equivalent of someone giving $10.
Yeah. Dude, get serious with that.
But it is true, but it's $98 million.
Exactly.
Like, who's to say he's not scattering around $1 billion to a bunch of different spots?
I guarantee you he hit.
You can't even win that. $98 million, that's not charitable enough.
You know what that says? It's exactly the world we live in. No matter what, you're going to...
There's controversy.
Not everyone's going to love what you do.
Right.
No matter what you do or what you say, there's always going to be a contrarian on the other side going, nah, that wasn't enough, or you didn't do this. Or you didn't do that.
Based on the percentages of your wealth, it should have been this.
Always going to be a jackass on the other side.
Someone texting in, Archie Manning would be a cool gig.
Peyton, two sons,
two rings. Eli, two rings.
Super Bowls.
Hosting SNL.
And he played, too. He made it to the NFL.
I think the old man was in commercials and stuff with him, too. Hasn't he been?
He's probably got in there.
Some commercials and stuff together, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, Archie Manning, that's a good dad move.
Not bad.
Yeah, there is. I mean, think about it. There's some, like, LeBron's dad.
What about a Stahl dad?
Yeah, the Stahl brothers.
You just wheel around and watch your kids play in the NHL every night.
I think the only problem with that, and this applies to Archie Manning, is there's the one brother that didn't make it.
Right.
That puts you in a tough spot, I think.
Yeah.
Because you can't
bring him with you.
Well, you can't celebrate the other two more. You know, you can't.
Yeah. What I always wondered about the other Stahl brother is, like, these guys apparently all live in Thunder Bay, and they probably all have monster cottages right beside each other. So the one brother that doesn't make it, what's he got? Like a shed?
Well, I don't know. What he got?
I don't know. His brothers are making $8 million a year for 10 years, and they're building cottages right next to each other.
I'd like to think they pitched in, and he's got his spot, too.
Right.
I would think if the three of you make it, and you're all making like $50 million in your career, why don't we all throw in an extra? Because how much is a great spot in Thunder Bay?
Dude, I don't know.
With all due respect, like, are you paying
$250,000?
A few hundred grand for a really nice spot in the lake?
I don't know. You know,
all chip in
Glenn
an extra
Sheeler,
50?
I think he's from up there.
Okay, we'll catch up with him. We'll catch up with Glenn just to get an idea on that.
Probably
anyway,
$250,000.
There's something we have to get to that's very important to me. It's the goal. The golden goal. Do you want to do it now? Do you want to have a small break?
I think we come back and we'll get to it. We got Strutty coming up. We'll play it before Jason Strutty.
Yeah, we
got to
get into the Leafs game, obviously.
We can't let him hear it because he's not going to understand who
else. No, we'll play it before he comes on. Yeah. But because they're in Edmonton. The Leafs are in Edmonton tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And Freddie Anderson, it's already been announced, he will play tomorrow. And that's not a surprise to anybody.
Yeah, I was like, were you shocked?
The only thing I would say is, you know, maybe you could make the case in the third, Freddie looked like he kind of ran out of steam a little bit. But, you know, this is a Leaf team that with Babcock, they had horrible first periods. And now with Keefe, they've really struggled at times in the third.
Yeah.
The game against Colorado, they held on for that. But they were snowed in. The game in Philly, the game in Vancouver, they won it. Last night, though, there was a three-minute run. They came out. They were shell-shocked. Like they just
flat, a couple mistakes, and that's really what it is.
But it's burning them, man. It's too many points that they're throwing away.
That is the only thing that is concerning, because this isn't the starting of the year now. It is technically with Keefe, but he jumped on a moving train, and his job is to get them back, you know, to the level what everyone believes they can play, and that's a challenge because again, you do the scoreboard watching. Some teams are picking up points around them, and you got to keep chipping away. I think the Rangers won last night.
I don't want to sound like a dinosaur, and it's not like I was Brian McGrattan when I played, but if you don't use body contact as an element to stop the opponent ever, ever, you're going to have a difficult time defending leads, holding leads, stopping talented teams. It's an experiment where it's like puck possession, hold on to the puck, make play. That's great and everything. They've got an energized look to them. It looked good in the first period, but there's no, once the other team decides to turn it on with talented players, there's no stopping. There's no stopping it.
Well, we'll see how.
I don't know.
No, I agree with that. I don't think that applied last night. Like the Goudreau goal to start the third, that was Freddie he rims it and it to nowhere.
Yeah.
And then I
that
think
was just 2 minutes of hell that it ended up in the back of their
it
net.
It was just you know, then Spezza makes a mistake and that's going to happen. Like if you're being encouraged and he does it better than anybody and he's been doing it for 18 years, making plays and.
That Spezza play, I put that on Nick Petan. National Hockey League, anywhere around you, you got to come up with it. You just went by it, didn't stop on it.
Yep, sure.
No, but you're right.
You're going to make mistakes when you're trying to make plays.
That's the thing. You're trying to make plays, no problem. Details and being hard at critical times, and also identifying when it is. Like, to me, the most damning thing is when you give up a goal right at the end of a period or right at the beginning of a period.
First minutes of periods.
Like, that is...
First and last minutes.
It just leaves just a bitter taste in your mouth. You're either in it and owning the play, or you're fighting to get back in it, and then you just jam yourself up. And that's, you know, you're going into the third period on the road up 2-1 and looking pretty decent, looking good.
But yeah,
good game,
good
back and forth and that. You know, 4 minutes of some mental errors. Calgary takes advantage of them. And then now you're chasing the game. And then, okay, so you're down 4-2. Here's a 5-on-3 for $1.45 or whatever it was. Am I around that? Was it $1.48? It was close to being almost 2 minutes.
Yep.
Post, Riddick makes a couple big saves.
That was the game.
You know,
they had to score on that 5-on-3.
To me, that's the game because there was a ton of time left. You needed one goal there to make it 4-3, and then you get your game going back. And, you know, Tavares has a breakaway. Riddick makes a real good save on that. Like they had chances. Again, you know, Nylander was in tight. Like it ended up, it was a good game that came out on the wrong end, and you can point to the 4 minutes and the 5-on-3. That's the two things that I would say.
Well, I'll throw in a third, and I don't know how many times I have to say this, and I don't think I'm being too critical on guys that are the highest paid guys on the team.
Right.
Auston Matthews and William Nylander seem to pick and choose when they decide they want to play, and if it's not happening, they're just like, not my night. Not my night.
Yeah, and I'll give Sheldon Keefe credit because he pointed to that last night.
He did say that.
Like we've got the audio. He was very pointed in his criticism of the whole team.
Yeah,
they had one line, and we all know what the line was.
Yeah,
because Marner makes a difference. Like you can when Marner's dancing,
and for the people that want to write in or tweet us or whatever and say, oh, he's got 19 goals, whatever. I don't know how many goals he's got. How many goals does Auston Matthews have?
19.
19 goals?
Yeah.
I don't care. There's so many nights off where it's just a non-factor, non-effort, and I think it's getting a little bit much.
Yeah,
it's too many times.
You're the second highest paid player in the game.
You're supposed to have five or six of those a year. There's already been a dozen.
Yeah, no,
a dozen.
He is on pace. He's going to get his 45 and 90 if he stays healthy. But there's going to be 20 games that you look back on and say, I didn't really notice him play.
That's just not good enough to me.
That can't happen for an elite player.
Oh, and it's like they both look at each other and say, are you on board with me? This one's not happening tonight. And neither one of them pull through it.
Here's what Keefe had to say postgame about the whole team.
The other part of it is we just didn't have a lot of guys that had great days today. You know, we had one line I thought that was outstanding, and after that I don't think it would be hard to find a guy that had a good day today.
Yeah, he's right, for the most part. I mean, I'm not sure it was one line only and everyone else had a poor game. I thought Mikheyev had some jump at times. I thought there were a couple of other guys, but... it's disappointing because you look at Calgary, now they've won seven in a row, and that's what we keep waiting for with the Maple Leafs. Now they can salvage the trip with a win tomorrow night.
Yep.
You come home off a tough trip, 3-1, you're going to take that.
You'll be happy with it.
But if you throw away a game tomorrow, you spoiled the trip. Because if you come back 2-2, you threw it away. Because you started 2-0, and you're rolling, and you're feeling good. So tomorrow night, I do think is every game's a pivotal game when you're in a race, and they're going to be in a race all year.
Well,
they're a flawed team in many ways. They are not going to run off, 20 wins in a row. It's not going to happen.
But you got a big game in Edmonton, and then your Tuesday home against Buffalo. That's a team you're trying to catch.
They won again last night.
Yeah.
Like, Buffalo is not fading right now.
This Jack Eichel.
Yeah, he's top five player in the game right now.
He's playing.
In terms of points, you look at it, he's got like 18 more points than anybody else on his team.
Yeah, he's got 45 points, I believe.
Yeah, he's sniffing his way into a Hart Trophy conversation.
Absolutely. He's doing what Hall did a couple years ago. If he ends up with 103 points and they get in, and Skinner has 67,
there you go.
He's going to get it, more than likely. I mean, unless McDavid hits 155 or something crazy like that. But that's where we're going, and that's the company Matthews is in, but it's on him to do that. It's on him to be consistent. McDavid's showing up tomorrow night. Like, if he doesn't, you're shocked.
Shocked.
If Matthews doesn't, you're like, I'm not that surprised.
That's a good point.
Because that's what he does kind of whenever he wants, and who knows?
That's right.
It's starting to become a problem where I'm like, I'm disappointed. Because I remember him his first year in the league where I'm like, every night I'm like, damn, this guy's dynamite.
Well,
now it's just like he picks and chooses when he wants to play. It's like you're better than that. Piss it away.
I saw one thing last night that I was pleasantly, not surprised, but I saw a glimmer of it. I don't know if you saw it. Hamonic was leaning on him behind the net. Did you see him just push Hamonic like he was a bag of potatoes?
He threw his body a couple times last night.
It was like a forearm shiver type play, wasn't it?
It was, but it was... Like, I thought to I just made a mental note.
Because I remember saying to Pooley, did you see that? And he's like, yeah, that was interesting.
Because we don't see it enough.
No.
Enough, like, where I thought to myself and made a mental note. Plays like that, he can do more to show how strong he is. Because Hamonic's not, Hamonic's not a tiny guy. He can handle himself physically. He likes to be a physical player. Hamonic was leaning on him. Matthews turned around and pushed him. And Hamonic flew like he was basically... Kramer at the dojo.
Right. And he's a big boy, too.
He is, but that's what
hold his own.
I saw something like that, and sometimes you get that in your mind where, like, this guy is capable of doing that. You want a little bit more consistency out of it.
Yeah. And again, tomorrow night you go in there and win.
Yeah, you're fine.
Then you come home 3-1. It's all good. You know, you're going to be able to paint that positively.
We've got some breaking info.
Uh-oh.
Unreal Cottages in Thunder Bay for $400.
400K for a monster
ish
in Thunder Bay, Ontario.
Yeah.
Well, then the other brothers got one.
Well, I would imagine. You would hope that they
change. Or at least a free pass to use whichever one he wants at any time.
When the brothers are away playing, he's living in it.
Got to be. Mail It In Friday brought to you by sportsmarketplace.ca, where there's currently over 1,000 items for sale. It's where sports fans go to put their stuff on waivers. Visit sportsmarketplace.ca. Jason Strudwick out in Edmonton in about 10 minutes. Lamar Jackson wrapping up the MVP last night. We'll have words. I got your money. Al's brother is poison to me. Poison. He hammers the Giants on Monday night. You're not even here.
Yeah.
We don't see you. We don't hear from you. Al's brother makes the call. There's a hundo for you. Yeah. Last night, he's like, I like the Jets.
You had an option. You had an option to
I know
say
that.
No,
what
Al's
did the
brother.
Final score end up? Because I saw it was
a 21-point game. Like, okay. The Jets almost had a backdoor cover for the ages. For the ages. It was 4th-and-1. About the 35-yard line, and they couldn't complete a pass.
I turned it off when it was a disaster.
Well,
they got back into
the Ravens.
It.
Forget about football. Forget about the Leafs. We scored the biggest goal in the history of this country.
That's true.
And we're going to play it for you next.
All right, so Jason Strudwick, our buddy from Edmonton, will join us in about 5 minutes with the Leafs in Edmonton tomorrow night. Leafs coming off a 4-2 loss in Calgary. Last night, the Raptors welcome Brooklyn to town tomorrow night. We'll tee that up later in the afternoon. And week 15 in the NFL got started with a bang. Lamar Jackson is putting up numbers that we've never seen before. Like, we've never seen the rushing yards he's putting up, his accuracy.
MVP,
he's a lock for the MVP.
It's a lock.
Lock. It's over. I think it'll be unanimous. And you know what's interesting? This time last year, we were talking about Patrick Mahomes putting forth maybe the greatest season we'd ever seen.
Right.
Jackson is
one up them
as impressive, if not better. Like, Mahomes had 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns, which is crazy for a young quarterback. But Jackson's running for, like, he's going to hit 1,200, 1,300 yards rushing. Rushing. He is out-rushing multiple teams in the NFL right now. Himself. It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. We've got you got to set this up.
Yeah.
There's just certain moments in life where people think that the last Olympic Games or whatever, it was about Crosby. It was about Chris Cuthbert. They've got one right. It was about Cuthbert, but about the Overdrive crew.
Yes.
We made it happen for Canada, and all of us contributed, and people are going to say, where was I when I heard this goal?
What a scene at Canada Hockey Place. Overtime in the gold medal game. Cannot confirm or deny that Jamie Noodles-McLennan has never been better in the Team Canada net. Face off to his right. What are the odds that Al's brother would be on the ice at this critical time? Another grit grinder, the grappler, out there as well. Probably because he's 5'8", 240 every day. Captain Hayes to take the draw. He's played a lot of hockey, but not at this level. From the faceoff, Canada gets control. Al's brother up to the grappler. Puck pellet center. O-Dog up with it again. He's on the ice with Hayes. Hayes. O-Dog scores. Jeff O'Neill. The O-Dog goal. And Canada has once-in-a-lifetime Olympic goal. What a moment for Canada. And O-Dog will have a gold medal he'll never lose.
Can't guarantee it won't be stolen, though.
Right.
There it is, the Overdrive crew with a gold medal performance, and Chris Cuthbert called it for us.
Is that an Elmer Fudd?
That is.
Oh, my God.
Every day of the week.
Is that the fourth Fudd?
I think that's the fourth Fudd.
The fourth Fudd. Cuthbert, you got one coming to you. I think we have to. I think we got to give it to Cuthbert.
That is
a double Fudd.
How did we get him to do that? I mean, he's a busy guy. He was in Calgary last night. He's got better things to do than put up with our garbage.
Better things to do. Like, he...
Al's brother's on the ice, too? Al's brother.
And the grappler.
And the grappler.
Grinder.
5'8", 240 every day of the week.
I like, there were some subtle shots in there, too.
Confirm or deny was
Confirm
in there.
Confirm or deny. Hayes, like, yeah.
Never played that.
He's played a lot of hockey, but not at this level. That's a greasy little shot.
Just a backhanded shot.
That might cost him a Fudd.
I loved it. I thought that, you know, that
it's
has
the goal
to,
of the year.
It is. Of the century.
Of the century.
That has to have, you got to play that in the World Junior broadcast somehow.
No, they're not going to do that.
They'll do that.
The quizmaster is going to be like...
The quizmaster will love that.
No.
I don't think the quizmaster wants
cartoon to
anything to do with them.
Anything to do with us. Like, he was angry with me yesterday when he was in here, when he came in studio.
Why, what did you do?
Well, the Lef Frenier thing, like, I kind of dodged that a little bit, and he was, like, shocked that I had forgotten that he was a big part of the team a year ago.
I think
ago.
He was more shocked at what you said to him. Yeah. We'll keep that off air.
That'll be an off-the-air comment. That's an off-the-record type of comment.
Awesome.
Especially around here, I'd get put in a headlock
exactly.
around here.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's find out if Strutty's got his tight jeans on and his tight T-shirt for everyone in Edmonton.
He should. It's the biggest day of the year in Edmonton tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, the Leafs are in town.
The Maple Leafs only come there once a year, and everyone is giddy. Everyone's so excited. Strutty, congratulations, buddy. I mean, that's a big day for you tomorrow night.
Yeah, it sure is. You think of the, I don't know, I guess it's an early game. As long as it's good for you guys. Is there anything else you want to do? Is a rink in a bad spot? Would you rather move all 30 rinks?
Are you interviewing Mitch Marner tomorrow?
Oh, Mitch, I've got a jersey. I'm wearing his jersey right now and his the JTPJs. I got it all. I got the whole thing, the whole package on right now.
Do you ever dream about, you know, if the balls fell the way they were supposed to, McDavid in a Maple Leaf jersey, how big it would be tomorrow night, him playing there for the only time all year? You ever dream about that?
Hayes, you remind me of, like, when I was younger, you know, there was always, like, I would date a girl, and then I would break up with her, and then some other guy would get her. And, you know, and it was that guy would always compare, like, himself to me. And I don't know why you need to do that. Like, you got Mitchell Marner, who's a nice little player, and the Oilers got McDavid. You know, like, let's not worry about what could have been or what might have been. You know, you ended up with a nice player. You know, a pretty big fan. I think his number 16 looks nice tattooed on your shoulder.
Yeah. No, it's on my back.
It's a full size.
Exactly. It's a full size Marner. Well, yeah, I mean, I was seeing something online that it's actually not even sold out tomorrow night. And like you mentioned that when the Leafs were in Vancouver, it wasn't sold out. There's been some issues throughout the country, I guess.
Right, yeah.
Like, is that an everyday kind of thing out in Edmonton that they're having a tough time filling that barn or what?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. You guys, we've been talking a lot about our show, and it's not just an Edmonton thing. It seems to be, like, not just in NHL either. It's kind of sports. Many sports teams, organizations are having a tough time selling tickets. And, you know, here in Alberta, obviously the economy isn't what it was 5 or 6 years ago, so I think that has definitely an effect on it. But, you know, there's some pretty entertaining players on this team. And, you know, like I make light of it, but the Leafs are fun to watch. I mean, tomorrow night, you know, I expect a shootout. You know, the last person with the last shot kind of wins. So, you know, I think it'll be a fun game to go watch. You know, I can see maybe some other teams wouldn't be quite so exciting, but that's a team that, to me, on a Saturday night, and 5 o'clock, I actually like the 5 o'clock start because you can go on to your night after that. You can still hit White Ave pretty aggressively after. So, you know what, it's hard to understand, and it's disappointing to see. You know, maybe the NHL has to try different ways to attract, you know, newer and younger fans.
Well, I think it is going to be a shootout, and it'll be a great game. What's the noise around Edmonton losing 3 in a row? And, you know, you got a goaltender last night that looked like me, which wasn't great. You know, I saw the traffic online saying you need a save. You know, you and I were texting. Like, to me, they are kind of reverting a little bit to exchanging chances instead of a little tighter defensively. Like, what are we going to expect from the Oilers? Because I think they're going to be pissed going home.
Well, and they should be. You know, these next 4 or 5 games before Christmas are really important for them to do well. So they come out of the break feeling good about themselves, and, you know, and they can continue on what's been a good start to the year, other than maybe the last 6 or 7 games. But the huge area is just the choices with the puck and defending the game. And they're not doing a good job of that right now. A little bit too casual. You could go over the last, you know, dozen or so goals. And yeah, there's a couple that, you know, could have been saved. And maybe those would have been saved in the first 10 or 15 games. But now, it still doesn't mean that the chances given against are good. And I'll give an example a lot of your listeners will know. Last night, the first goal in the third period by the Flames. The puck was running around the boards. And Tyson Barry, he kind of takes his time to get back in front of the net where Johnny Gaudreau's standing, a pretty good sniper. And then instead of getting the shooting lane to take that shot away, or at least even try to block it or maybe make him change a shot, he almost actually gets out of the way of it. And that's, you know, that's an aggressive way of playing defense, getting out of the way of a block shot that's right at the hash marks. But, you know, we've seen that from the Oilers, and it's such a simple thing to be able to defend, but it really takes a lot of dedication to get in those shooting lanes, get back, When you're at the end of a shift, you're carrying the puck up the ice, and it's a one-on-three, maybe you just get it deep instead of taking that risk. And I keep using the word mature team with the Oilers. They got to mature and understand that, you know, the first couple of minutes of a period, the last couple of minutes of a period, where you are your shifts, who you're playing against, all where the momentum has been game, all that stuff is about maturing, understanding that this is how, you know, we're going to play to have success.
Jason, you know what I've realized in life and watching hockey the last 7 years working at TSN? When you continually say a team can't play with structure, they can't block shots, they can't, a lot of times in the can't, there's don't want to. And it's just a simple fact of it. Very simple.
Well, you know what? And you know, there is some truth in that. And I think that, you know, Dave Tippett's talked a lot about kind of the leadership group. This where our leaders have to get going. Our leaders have to kind of lead the way. And that is true. You do show the way. Now, I'm not asking McDavid to lay down and sprawl out and block shots like crazy, but, you know, just at times monitoring where you're at in the game, where things are going on, what you're doing, your back check, where your stick is, all those little things that aren't super hard. What he does on the offensive side is really hard to do, and very few people can do it. But on the defensive side, almost everyone in the NHL can do it, but there's just got to be a willingness to do it. And, you know, I keep saying, you know, the maturity. Are they going to mature and understand this is the way it has to be done? You know, there's some holes in the lineup Newell, you talked a little bit about the goalies and that they're taking a lot of heat right now, but, you know, you can't just keep giving, you know, five Bell chances. You know, Eric Staal shooting a one-timer from the hash marks. I mean, you know, that's a pretty good chance against, you know, and yeah, you'd like your goalie to save it, but let's look at the reason for that chance happening. So, you know what, tomorrow night, like, you know, if I'm the Leafs, I just attack. I'm attacking all the time. Get the puck out of our zone, up into the neutral zone, and attack these Oilers and get in their zone. And sooner or later, if you work them over, you're going to get a chance to score. And, you know, that's if I was on that team, I'd be really disappointed and frustrated to hear people talking about my team like that, because there's a lot of pride taken in your own zone. And, you know, their penalty kill is doing a good job. Their power play is doing well as well. But 5-on-5, to take that ownership of that defensive zone play, man, that could really go a long way of just stabilizing the Oilers, both in their own zone and their goaltending, and now you can go do what you want to do with the puck in the offensive zone.
Well, Tippett and Keith might as well just exchange pregame speeches, because what you just said about the Oilers, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah,
the
you're
Leafs.
Right. It's a carbon copy.
It's a carbon copy. If you get on these guys, they're happy to just say, nah, I'm okay.
Not tonight.
Or bad turnover, or, well, you got me on that one. Like, it's going to happen. Yeah. Like, the Leafs are in the exact same spot, Strutty.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what's funny? Like, I was never a really offensive player, but when you're that elite offensively, you feel like, yeah, I'll give one up, but I'll get two back. And that there are nights where that happens. There's no doubt about it. And I played with guys, we all played against guys that were like that. They're like, yeah, I'll give you one, but I don't take two. I'll score two the other way. The problem is that not every night does that work out. And then there might even be stretches where you're not, you know, you're not getting it done 5-on-5. The power play is its own animal. Then 5-on-5, I still got to be able to create some offense 5-on-5, but defend as well. So, you know, that's why, you know, tomorrow's going to be a fun night to watch. A lot of talent on the ice. And really, quite frankly, the team that is either has a really hot goalie or the team that dials in their defensive play will probably be the one that ultimately prevails and could actually get an easy win in a lot of ways.
We were talking about MVPs, and arguably you could have Draisaitl and McDavid. If you had to choose, what's the narrative out there? If you had to choose one guy for the Hart Trophy and it was between those two, who do you think would get it?
It's really tough. They both played really well. They're different players. But right now, I'd probably go with Draisaitl. I think, you know, Leon has cooled down. Well, they both slowed down a little bit. I think they're on pace for 100 and some points, 150, 60 points to start the year. But I think Leon has played at a higher level consistently over this year. And he the way he plays through traffic and his heavy body, he lends a nice dynamic to McDavid. McDavid is a lot quicker. You know, gets to those open areas and likes to carry the puck and do things differently. So it's a nice blend they two have. I think actually, even though Connor's been racking up some points, I think he's got a different gear to hit. Whereas I think Leon, we're getting near the threshold of what we know, what we, you know, could have ever dreamt of Leon being as far as an NHL player. So right now, the way he's played, I would give to Leon the impact he's having, power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5, and in the faceoff dot.
Jason, if I text you at 10 o'clock tonight and I said, Strutty, do you want to go take a peek, what would that mean to you?
Usually I'd mean like go take a peek at a bar. Like you want to just go.
That's exactly what I was getting.
Yeah, like Noodles, when I Noodles and I were younger, Noodles would be like, you know, we got to at least go say hi. You know, and we'd be like, all right. So then we'd say hi for like 5 hours.
Yeah, it'd be a Monday night, and we'd be sitting there and be like, all right, let's just go take a peek. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's Monday night.
How many Monday nighters, though, taking a peek turned into an absolute sideshow?
You know what? Manuels and I, our favorite night was Wednesday night at Barry T's. I like, it was always like, it's not going to happen this week. No, we got to work out. We're going to be good. Then he'd be saying, oh, nothing going on. We go to a movie. I'm like, let's just drive by. It's going to happen. What's the worst thing? And then, like, the next morning, we're taking a car to go get our cab, or taking a cab to go get our car again. It's unbelievable. Yeah. God, I love that place.
Yeah, the Wednesday night peak.
In Edmonton?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a big night? That's industry night.
Well, every night. I don't know why. In the summer, it seems like every night is...
You can find a party.
Just go every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always somewhere to go.
Two good-looking guys.
Yeah, that's right.
One and a half.
All right, buddy. Well, bask in it tomorrow night. The glory of the Maple Leafs in your hometown should be a lot of fun.
I'll say hi to Mitch for you.
Thank you, buddy. See you, Strutty.
See you, guys.
Jason Strudwick from TSN Radio in Edmonton, long time NHLer, true friend of the show.
Yeah.
Joining us here on Mail It In Friday.
Do you Leafs want to hear the golden goal before we go to break?
Well, I think we save it because we've got a couple of things we got to get to. We want to play it multiple times. But I think we play it kind of every hour. We let people wait for it a little bit. We don't want to overexpose the audience to an Elmer Fudd performance.
How about right before Ray? We play it right before
Ray.
Ray
has to hear it for sure.
Yeah, he'd want to hear that.
Yeah.
He was with Cuthbert last night.
Yeah, he was.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, we got a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Rangers, Saturday, December 28th, and every day this week, we have been providing you with the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And today is the final clue, then the phone lines will be open. Your clue for today, this former Maple Leaf is currently a radio color commentator for one of his former NHL teams. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050, 416-870-1050.
I know who it is.
What do you have over there?
Tyson Nash.
Charleston Chew.
Where'd you get that?
Is this in your depth chart?
No, it's not even close. A Charleston Chew.
Fantastic. I bought this at Bed Bath & Beyond.
I've never heard of it. I thought it was gum.
No, it's marshmallow and chocolate.
Look at the size of that chocolate bar.
You know how you...
After we have the chicken parms, we'll get into it.
You want to try it? Well, no, after it may the... be tough to talk after because the chew is... It's like nougat.
Yeah, see, that's
very,
a problem.
Very, very good.
That is not conducive to doing radio and TV.
It is chewy-flavored nougat with a delicious chocolatey coating.
That's a second-round pick that doesn't work out that you got a lot of hope
for. Is this Tyler Biggs?
It's Jeremy Brocco, maybe. Tyler Biggs was a first rounder.
That's right.
That is Tyler Biggs in that wrapper right there.
They traded up to take Tyler Biggs.
Yeah, I don't want to get like
the Leafs traded up.
Just rattle people's cages every time we talk about draft picks.
Unbelievable. And I believe the pick that was their original pick was Rickard Rakell. That's who Anaheim ended up taking.
He's a hell of a player.
And John Gibson, I believe, was involved in that too.
We should just do that one day.
No.
We'll call it like a dark Monday where we just go through the trades.
The Leafs tree. You could call it the evolution tree.
Tyler Biggs for Rickard Rakell and John Gibson. Good trade.
That wasn't JFJ, was it?
No, it was a guy who's in the media now.
No one knows where he works.
No one knows exactly where he works.
Fair enough.
His buddy is close to us.
one stung. Hey, you take flyers on guys.
Exactly.
You know, it is what it is, but what are you going to do? Anyway, you want to look at some of these stats, okay? I spent all last night. There's Luka Doncic. Remember we had Sam in earlier, and he's like how crazy it is what Luka Doncic is doing?
Yeah, yeah.
You look at what he's accomplishing right now in Lamar Jackson, off the charts. Okay, Doncic recorded another 30-point triple-double last night. The sixth time he's done that already this year. Hasn't even played 30 games. The entire rest of the NBA has a combined 5 total.
Wow.
That's how good Doncic has been. Like, that's why when we talk about MVP, and, you know, Siakam's not included in this, Harden's outstanding, LeBron's great, Giannis is great. Doncic is a guy, just based on those stats. And Lamar Jackson, okay, he after last night's game, he has 1,103 rushing yards. 1,100 yards rushing as a quarterback. The Bears have 1,103. They have the exact same amount. The Bears as a team. The Jets have 1,086 total yards. The Dolphins have 875 yards rushing.
So he has more than those other ones.
Then and there's like crazy. There's three running backs on the and a quarterback that could run if he wanted to. He has almost 300 more yards than a team rushing, and he's a quarterback. That's how good his stats are.
He's slam dunk MVP.
Now,
it's
does he like the physical contact? Like, well, that's what worries me.
He'd prefer to avoid it, and he can't avoid it, but he'll get hit.
Yeah. Hey up.
Okay, I will. I got it. I'm trying to get through a bit here. We're trying to finish a segment. I'm not going to stop and get cash.
I need to get that off my chest because I usually pay up before the first segment's over.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, here's a trivia question for you. If you get this right, I'll give it to you right now. Who do you think has more
yards
rushing?
By the way, I don't care if I get it right. When I leave this building, I'm
getting my money.
Of course
you are, but you can get it right now while we're on TV before the segment ends. Tom Brady rushing yards for his whole career.
I got to give you the exact number?
No. Who has more? What number is bigger? Tom Brady's complete rushing yards for his whole career or Lamar Jackson's rushing yards this season?
Jackson this season.
No.
He's got more than Brady throughout his whole career.
Through his whole career.
And Brady just ran for 25 yards.
Yeah, 25, not 1,103.
Oh, you're getting fives.
Oh, I like that. Break it up. Yeah. Is there any change there, too?
That is so greasy.
There you go. Ray Ferraro in the next hour.
Amateur hour.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.